Lecture 18. The stem cells work however I work them. This is Santa's gift program to me, a seminar, how I train my genie stem cells. Very good question. How I train my genie stem cells. As we read here, the stem cells work however I work them. I work my stem cells for peace. I work my stem cells for abundance. I work my stem cells for wholeness. I work my stem cells for happiness, and so forth. The stem cells work however I work them. Kind of interesting, isn't it? The stem cells work however I work them. Ellen?
Yeah.
What's your problem? Ellen?
Yes.
What's another word for stem cells?
Cause?
The law of cause and effect. Ellen, what's another word for stem cells?
Thought.
Cause and effect.
Okay.
I mean, when you got a good one, don't lose it. Right. Now, Ellen, what's another word for cause and effect?
Thought.
Stem cells. Stem cells, cause and effect. Stem cells, cause and effect. Cause and effect, stem cells. Stem cells, cause and effect. I want you to get this into your thought that cause and effect and stem cells are the same thing. Now, how are causes brought into motion? Sylvia.
Through thought.
Very good. Ingeborg, how are thoughts brought into motion?
Thoughts are brought into motion into my...
I'm sorry?
My thinking.
Yes, by your thinking.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, now, anybody else? How are causes brought into motion? What else?
Through affirmations.
Don't take all of it. Yeah, through affirmations. let a couple of the other ones get in there. All right. Go ahead. Anita.
I only feel the pause.
Yeah, I know. You just are bubbling over.
Through my words, my deeds.
What?
Through my words and my deeds.
Through your words.
Words.
And your deeds.
God's words.
All right, let's see. Through your... Say it again, please.
Through my words.
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 And
my deeds.
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 Through my words and through my deeds. Through my words... And through
words.
My deeds, yeah. Through my words and through my deeds, okay. What are your words?
My affirmations.
And what are your affirmations?
My statement of truth.
She's learning this pretty well, isn't she?
Yeah.
Coming across pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, Christina? We say the stem cells work however I work them. How does the law of cause and effect work however I work it? The more you think, the more you're going to get it wrong. Just say it right off the top of your head. How do the stem cells work however I work them? How does the law of cause and effect work the stem cells?
By thinking about it.
Yes, by thinking and speaking about it. By speaking your word, by thinking your thought. Your thought. What is the motivating, what is the moving factor involved here? Thought, right? So, how do you get your thoughts to work for your choice? Yes, Ellen?
By being one-pointed on what I want.
Gertrude, how do you get your thoughts to work for what you want? How do you make your stem cells work?
I put a cause in motion.
Excellent. Now, wasn't that easy? See, that's really what you meant. Now, how do you put the cause in motion? How?
With my thought.
That's right.
Affirmations.
That's right. It's really as simple as can be, isn't it?
Yeah.
You put the cause in motion by your thoughts. How do you put the thoughts in motion?
By putting a cause in motion.
Huh? How do you put the thoughts in motion?
By thinking about it.
By thinking about it. Now, what sort of... Yeah, I know. What sort of thoughts are you thinking about? Let's say we are talking right here. Peace, abundance, happiness, wholeness. I mean, it gives us a few tigers there, work there with.
I think peace and wholeness and happiness. I think peace and wholeness and happiness and abundance.
That's good. That's good. Does it work that way?
Yes.
What if you were to think unhappiness and lack and so forth? That's what you would get, right? That's what you would get. If you think lack and illness and other things, that's what you get. And now, why do you have lack and illness? Because you're thinking about it, you know? Why do you have... why is Bill Gates so rich that he doesn't know how to count it? He thinks about things that are enjoyable to him, that are rich for him, that are beautiful for him, doesn't he? He thinks... everything he thinks about, he thinks fun. Now, when the fellows came in the office with a Dick Tracy watch on their wrist, what did he say? What's a Dick Tracy watch? A Dick Tracy watch, back in the 30s, the cartoons on the funny papers on Sunday had Dick Tracy. And Dick Tracy was a policeman. And he was, you know, the hotshot policeman. He always got his... he always took care of his duty. Well, Dick Tracy, back in the 30s, Ellen, your kid's kind of noisy. The Dick Tracy, back in the 30s, what did he do? He had a wristwatch. Well, the wristwatch wasn't too unusual. But his wristwatch was a two-way radio television.
Oh,
my
gosh.
Yeah, and he could talk to people and actually see them. And he could talk, pressing a button, and he could see them and talk to them and do everything. Pretty neat, huh? Well, one of the men in Bill Gates' operation came in his office one day and wearing one of these. Mm-hmm. It was okay, but it worked, but not really classy. And Bill said, we got to put that out. We got to manufacture that. We got to, I like it. Give me that watch. You know, he really was taken by it. Now, you see how these things get started? It's just a little thing like that. So, what you want to do is to take your idea, put it on your wrist, and go see Bill Gates and talk about something else. And he'll see it and say, hey, we want to do that. Nice, huh? Mm-hmm. Build a better refrigerator, do whatever. Now, what is that kind of thinking? Success thinking, positive thinking, good thinking. It's thinking where everything's working out beautifully. Everything's working out fantastic. And this is what we want to do. We want to take our stem cells and direct them beneficially for whatever we want to achieve. Now, end, beginning, we want to take our thoughts and put them into motion for whatever circumstances we want in our life. The law of cause and effect. We want to put a cause in motion that will bring an effect that we want. We want to put a cause in motion that will bring effect we want. Now, the cause is that I am whole and perfect. The effect you want is to be whole and perfect, right? The cause is I am a healthy person. The cause is I eat good foods, I eat happy things, I take my vitamins every day, I take my walk, and I run, and I jump, and I laugh, and I sing, and I dance, and I play, and I'm happy. And I have good health. Now, which one of all of those things brought me the good health? Well, the whole enchilada, all of it. They all brought my good health, because it was a positive, joyful, uplifting atmosphere or attitude that I was in, okay? So, when we do this now, then we have the fulfillment of the law of cause and effect. When we do this, we have the fulfillment of the stem cells working beneficially for us. Now, you can get hung up on the law of cause and effect and say, well, you know, it's kind of flaky. And you can get hung up on stem cells, too. You can think that stem cells are growing out of your brain and oozing down over your brain and your body and stuff like that, and kind of gooky, you know. And then you think, well, now, Every day, 10,000 of them coming out every day, 10,000 that I have. Oh, I get so tired of even thinking about it, you know. Well, Gertrude, if you think you're going to get tired just thinking about the 10,000 stem cells that come into your brain, what do you say? You say, I'm putting a cause in motion, that I'm going to take one of those stem cells and say, son, daughter, whatever you want to call it, stem cell, I put you in charge of all my stem cells, telling my stem cells what I want done. Now, this is a general idea I want now carried out. Can that be done?
Yes.
And is it done all the time?
Yes.
Yeah. But isn't that a whole lot better than worrying about it? Because people do. They get bent all out of shape. Think, my God, it's a lot of work, you know. It's a lot of work. Well, it's not a lot of work when you take charge. Now, Gertrude, are you an executive? Yeah. You know how to handle that, you know, no problem. Ellen, are you an executive?
Yes.
Christina, are you an executive?
Yes.
Ingeborg, are you an executive?
Yes, yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Anita, are you an executive?
What is an executive
exactly? One who knows how to delegate authority.
Yes, I am.
One who knows how to delegate authority. Isn't that a good word for it? Now, an executive doesn't have to know how to do anything, but he has to know how to delegate authority. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you do that?
Yes.
Do you talk to your stem cells and say, okay, boys, glad to have you. Joe here, I've assigned him to take over and inform you of all the things I want done. And by the way, Joe, here's a list of more things I want for you. It's Pollyanna's Aunt Polly, you know, telling the minister what to say. But that's true. That's true. And that's good. Now, are you ready and are you able and do you have the mental capacity to do that? It takes a lot of really... Are you really... Go ahead. A lot of what?
Imagination.
Yeah, she said something. What did you say?
Dedication.
Dedication.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It takes dedication, and it takes confidence in yourself, in your ability to delegate. Because a lot of people delegate. Would you please, maybe please, if you got time, do this here? Well, you don't get it done. You see, I want this done, and this done, and this done. Now, are you willing to take it on? Okay, that's the last I talked to you about it now. You just go do it. And, oh, don't you want to tell me how to do it? You know how to do it. Well, then I need a new shovel, and I need a new this, and I need a new that. No, you don't. We have all the equipment, all the tools, everything you could want. Well, I need shingles. Well, we got shingles, but they're not the same color. I don't care. The patch color roof doesn't bother me. It's still shingles. It worked just fine. Well, you mean you're going to have dark shingles in the middle of those beautiful tan shingles? Sure. Who's looking up on the roof and saying, oh, you have wrong color shingles up there? You know? They're trying to sell you shingles. And they like to say, well, throw away those old shingles. They take them home. They use them on their roof. Yeah? What are you going to say, Ellen? What are you going to say when you want something done? You want it done perfectly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. I can hear that I want them all one color.
The same color, yes.
Ellen? Do you want the roof to be sheltered properly with the proper shingles to take care of the rain and the weather? Or do you want the roof to have the cosmetic look that it's going to cost you many times more to have it done?
No, I...
Ellen, why did you buy those colored shingles in the first place?
Because they have different roofs.
Oh, we do?
Colors.
We do, really? When did we start that?
Since we have so many houses.
If we would have all one colored shingles, no, that we buy, then as the shingles get blown off and the new shingles get put on, pretty soon we'll all have the same color. Yeah, give or take a couple hundred years, you know, and no problem. But, Ellen, I think this is very interesting, and it's a good point. Why do you want all the same colored shingles? I can understand that you want it to look nice, and you feel that that is an indication that we have been thoughtful in how we presented things, but why do you want them? You don't want anyone to think that you're doing a schlucky job, an improper job. Ellen, could you, now be honest with me, they're not even listening, could you ever do anything improper?
No.
Could you ever ask for anything improper to be done?
No.
Whenever you have things done, it is done proper.
Correct.
Now, Ellen, if you allow yourself to look at the shingles that we have and say they're a different color than you want on the roof, then you're in trouble. If you say, I now have the perfect shingles for our roof and everything is in divine order.
Exactly.
And so then your handyman who's going to put the shingles up for you says, by the way, could I switch with you? I have dark shingles on my roof and you have light ones, and I have a couple of packages of light one, and I'd like to exchange it for a couple of packages of your dark ones. And you say, sure, of course. And so it works out in divine order. Now, isn't that a much better way of going about it? See it done perfectly, and say, no, you know, the minute you argue, the minute you build up a block against something, it blocks everything else. And you don't want things to be blocked. You put the cause in motion. I work my stem cells for peace. I work my stem cells for the perfect color of tiles that I want on my roof. Now, Ellen, you have a beautiful roof. And you think to yourself, I just saw the new red-roofed house over there, and I thought, isn't that beautiful? Or ugly, or whatever you want to say, you know. And so you say, I think it'd be nice if we had a new tile-type roof. And so you get the new tile, and you put it right on top of the old tile, so you have double protection now. And it doesn't matter what color the old tile are, you know. You don't have to buy new tile to fill in where the old tile were bad before you put the new tile on top of the tile that you have on top of the roof. But just think, wouldn't that be interesting to have a beautiful, not plastic, but a plastic type of shingles that are looking like tile, but they're only about a third the weight of tile, and four times more strong, four times stronger than the tile, and seven times more resistant to fire or heat, because it's this new stuff that they come out with, you know, and they come out with it, and they sell it cheaper because they can produce it in mass quantities. But the tiles that they make out of tile,
clay.
Thank you. Tiles they make out of clay are not as strong, are not as resilient, and they are more expensive. And you know one of the reasons they're more expensive? Because if the tiler hits the tile incorrectly, it crumbles. You broke it up, then you got to put another one in there. And they have a lot of waste. Whereas with the new fiberglass plastic ones, there's no waste. Because you cannot hurt them. You hit them with a hammer, and they just bounce back. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying, open yourself, open your consciousness to the possibilities that are all about you of new things, of new ways of looking at things. And never say that you don't want something done some way. Anybody? What would happen when she does that?
Exactly what happens, it happens how it...
What she doesn't want, she gets, right? She puts a cause in motion. Now, what do you want? You want a very fine roof on your house and on your buildings, wherever they may be. And so you just put the cause in motion. And you win the sweepstakes, and the sweepstakes prize says you now have 40,000 square feet of free tiling on your roof.
Uh-huh.
Your choice. Labor included. No tax, you know. And hey, why not? These crazier things have happened. crazier things have happened. Now, Michael Milligan could do things for us through his company as a gift for us because of what he thinks we're doing. And it would cost him $10 to do something for us that it would we would have to pay somebody else $100 to do. You follow me?
Yeah.
Now, would it be worth his while to make a gesture? Yes.
Sure.
But you see, how do you know who's going to make gestures? How do you know what these fellows, when they get out of prison and find themselves, are going to do? And are they going to have new values? Values that we show them are beneficial? Are they going to have new directions? Are they going to want to tell their foundation organization that they love it? You know, does everyone like to send a donation into the foundation organization every year of a tithe of whatever they earn? Yes, everyone does. And do they do it? Yes. That's how we progress and grow. But you see, you put the cause in motion. You put the cause in motion and you let it happen. And when you let it happen, what happens?
It happens.
Yeah. Now, the things that Anita does in her world and her life and her activities regarding us bring us more than the 10% of whatever she earns. We receive more money from Anita based on her 10% of what she has as her income than anybody else. See, we're probably receiving as much as 40% of her income. You know? Right? And why? We don't ask. It's just her choice to share. Same with Gertrude, my goodness. The things Gertrude does with and for us and about us, my goodness. If her income was $100,000 a year, we were easily receiving $30,000 a year. You know, isn't that what it is? No. What is it? 15% or 10% or 15? 15%, huh?
Of what?
Of the annual income. What is your donation, Ellen? What is the donation?
10%.
10%.
Tithing is 10%.
I'm sorry.
Tithing is considered 10%.
When did you go to school? When did you go to school?
Now it's probably 50.
Do you realize that we give 10% to our waiters and waitresses, right? Please listen to me. We give 10%, don't we? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what they expect. Well, we always give 15%, don't we? Don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't we? Yeah. So, now, what is 10% now? 10% is really 15%. But, Ellen, do not limit anybody. If Dorothea wants to give us everything she has, we accept. But what we would do, knowing that she's given everything, we would hold a portion of it in abeyance in case she needs it herself. Because she might be using bad judgment. And we don't want her to be out because she's using bad judgment on our behalf. You know? So, we have a responsibility there. And this is something that we think about. Now, Ellen, can you handle that?
Yes.
Yeah, no problem. Can you handle all that money?
Oh.
Yeah. Can you direct it properly? Can you, what did we say before? Allocate?
Delegate.
No, delegate.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said dedicate. Delegate. Can you delegate those things?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, huh? Gertrude does this all the time. She goes home and she says, Jerome, I have to write a letter to Herb and I want it to look good, so write it for me and then I'll sign it. She says, you're a genius, you know. And so Jerome writes this beautiful letter, totally loving because he loves me and respects me, and then Gertrude signs it. Now, is that Gertrude's letter or is that Jerome's letter?
One.
Huh?
They are one.
It's actually Gertrude's.
What?
It's Gertrude's.
It's Gertrude's letter. She instigated it. She delegated the letter, and he wrote it.
Yeah.
Now, if I have you write letters in answer to all the letters I get and sign my name, are you being my delegate?
Yeah.
Are you taking care of it for me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give them to you.
I can delegate them further.
Yes, 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 yes. And that's the point. That's the point. Now, Ellen, your burst of laughter and your burst of hilarity here was in perfect taste with the theme we have in mind. Think crazy thoughts, believe they can happen, and they happen. Right?
Yes.
Right. Now, what does Ingeborg want to do every time she reads letters from these guys in prison? She wants to answer them herself. She wants to tell them how wonderful they are and what a great program we've got for them and things like that. And then you write to them, and she writes to them, and Sylvia writes to them, and Anita writes to them, and you girls didn't get in on the show. But and then they want me to write too. And I say, hey, 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 that's not overkill. Just go and write and say whatever's in your heart. And sometimes the things that you say are conflicting one person to the other. But be yourself and have fun. Now, how can you make your stem cells work to have peace in your life? How can you make stem cells work to have peace in your life?
Think peace.
Hmm?
Think peace.
That's good. Be peace.
Peace,
yes. Be peace. Think peace is good too, but be peace. See, if you are peace, then everything falls in perfect place. If you're not peace, you will find war conditions everywhere. You'll find anxiety, you'll find upsetness, you'll find tension, and you know all those vibrations that upset you all around you. Now, can you think peace? Can you think harmony? Can you think abundance? Can you think right action? All the things we're talking about here, wholeness and happiness, can you think that? What would happen if Gertrude walked into Rita's classroom and Rita was teaching her kids about happiness, and Gertrude came in with a big smile on her face, and Rita said, Gertrude, why do you have a big smile on your face? And all the children would stop doing what they're doing and look at her. Gertrude, how dare you come in here with a big smile on your face? And Gertrude would smile bigger. And the children would look at Rita and say, why are you saying this to that nice lady? She's got a big smile on her face. Why are you saying, why do you have a big smile on your face? And then, what would Gertrude do? Gertrude would say, when I was thinking about the children in your class, I had such a love and a big smile in my heart, I had to come over and spew it out on you. So, here's all my love, here's all my happiness, here's all my joy. Have a wonderful day, you guys. And she runs out the door. And they say, who is that crazy lady? And then Rita would say, okay, who's next? Who was touched by her smile? Who did she splatter on with her spitter? Who did she touch? And what would the kids start doing? Me, me, me. They all want to be touched. And they'd say, but what did she do when she touched us? Well, when she touched you, she put her magic pixie dust on you of happiness and smiles. So now, you're going to go home and you're going to spread it on your parents and on your brothers and sisters and on your friends, wherever they may be. You're going to spread this pixie dust on them of happiness. And you're going to say, you got it from Gertrude Suter. They'll say, well, who is Gertrude Suter? Well, Gertrude Suter is the happiness pixie lady. Oh, she's the happiness pixie lady. My goodness, when did she get that title? Where did she get that? Well, that's what my teacher called her, the happiness pixie lady. And so then, what would happen to those kids?
They would run to her house.
Every home that they came from would be infected with that pixie dust. And just as simple as that. Now, what were those pixies, Gertrude? Where did you get that dust? That dust is your stem cells. That dust is your stem cells. And you have an infinite amount. Now, they cannot be given out because they multiply faster than you can give them away. And so the bag gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and it bursts. And pretty soon it's all covered. And it's pixie dust. And it's wonderful. Now, are you ready for that sort of thing? Are you ready to be a pixie duster? And what happens when you're a pixie duster?
I am welcome everywhere.
You are very what?
Welcome.
You are what?
Welcome.
Oh, you are a desired and welcome
yes.
visitor
yes.
in any place you go.
Yes.
And that is true. You are welcomed. Yeah. Willkommen. You are welcome. Now, that's beautiful. Now, why does Gertrude do this all the time? Does she?
Yes.
Yes, yes. And yes. Now, Anita?
Yes.
What in the world makes you think you know that she does this all the time?
I see it in her because it's actually my nature.
She is your reflection?
Yes.
Oh, you're a pixie duster too?
Yeah.
My goodness. Now, what about this godson of yours, this blonde-haired Adonis godson? What is he?
A pixie duster.
He's a pixie duster, huh? Now, what did he do with his hair when he cut it off? Did he save it?
Nope.
Ah! He'll grow it again, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you write to him, tell him that you are so pleased to... You weren't there when he did it. Yes, you were.
Yes, I was.
You were there. You were there when he did it. You were so pleased to be there when he let go of some of his pixie dust in the barber shop. And that everybody in the barber shop was touched by his pixie dust of happiness, his stem cells that he left off. And, you know, he may be interested. And who knows what sort of things you encourage him to think about. But he made a mess out of that barber shop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that barber shop was filled with such joy, such happiness, such magnificence, because that boy was there. And that boy was not an angry boy. He was just an experimental kid, trying out some new ways of spreading his pixie dust around. And who else did that? Hmm? Who else did that? What other character cut his hair and left his pixie dust everywhere? Huh? Sounds like a Hengli eye thing, doesn't it? Yeah. And when Hengli did this, what did he do? What do you do with his pixie dust when he has hair cut off, trimmed? What do you do? Pick it up and take it home?
No.
He left them to spread it around. Everyone who came in that shop for the next forever is being blessed by those pixie dust, by those stem cells, floating all over the shop.
That's why we send Rex to the barber, honey, sometimes. For grooming.
We should groom him up here. Spread his hair around out here. But no, that's good. He's got plenty. Okay, now, do you see how it works? This stem cell focuses through us in marvelous ways, wonderful ways. Now, it comes out of our brain. Where is our hair?
Above the brain.
On the top of the brain, right. And so, every hair. Now, what do they tell you about your hair cells? What do they tell you about your hair follicles? They can read all about your health from your hair follicles. They can read all about your gene chromosome and your DNA structure from the follicles of your hair. Because in your hair follicles, you have all that represented there. Now, I would like to offer the possibility for your thinking that all of your hair are your stem cells. Your hair are the medium through which your stem cells flower around your being. So now you're going to raise your hair down to your legs. But it's your outlet. It's your outlet of the stem cells. Does that seem possible?
Yeah.
And now, what are you going to do about it? Did you ever love to touch somebody's hair? Just reach over and touch their hair. Not anything special, but just to touch their hair. Why did you want to do that?
Because it was pixie dust.
Because it was pixie dust. Because it was stem cells floating beautifully out. Now, Daniel was here, and when he was getting ready to leave, he was sitting there doing something. And I said, okay, Daniel, we'd already hugged and kissed and everybody else did their thing. And I said, okay, Daniel, see you. I had other things I wanted to do. So I took my hand and I gently swirled it through his hair. He had pretty thick hair. And I said, enjoy. And he looked up with a baby beatific smile. He said, oh yeah. Now, that is the way it works. It's not just me. It's not just the magic of Herb Byerly, the magic man, but it's the magic of you, the magic of Ingeborg, the magic of Christina, the magic of Ellen, the magic of Gertrude, the magic of Anita, the magic of, what's your name? Sylvia? Sylvia? They write songs about Sylvia, don't they? Yeah. Who is Sylvia? They keep asking that always. Who is Sylvia? Yeah. And they don't know. Because she is so loaded with what? Stem cells and pixie dust that you never really get to know the real Sylvia. Because she's just under all that pixie dust and stem cells. Right? Okay. Now, what are we going to do with the rest of you? You're under there too. How are we going to release it? How are we going to let it go? The stem cell works however I work them. How are you going to work them? How are you going to work your stem cells? What are you going to say to your stem cells to get them to work in your life and your affairs and your body? We've given you another concept of looking at the stem cells. Another concept, what is it, Christina? What is the other concept I gave you of looking at stem cells? Your hair. Your hair. You. And I gave you two of them probably. Pixie dust. Pixie dust. Now, when I tell the Mr. Candle stories, Mr. Sandman has the pixie dust. He has all the fun of sprinkling over the children and the adults. And Sandman usually likes to cause trouble. He's a big instigator of trouble. Mommy and Daddy are tucking the kid in, and Mr. Sandman splashes his sand across the kid and hits the Mommy and Daddy, and the Mommy and Daddy sit down next to the kid, and they fall fast asleep. But you know, that's nice. That's nice. But can you see how beautiful that works? How much fun it is? And how much I enjoy telling the Mr. Candle stories? Because there's such a lovely sharing time, lovely adventure. And it just delighted me so often when I hear people call or write. One guy called a couple times saying that his 12-year-old son loved to hear the Mr. Candle stories. Because they are for babies through adults, for everyone. And it is exciting. So, okay now. I would like each one of you got 6 minutes before you're leaving here. I'd like each one of you to write down, I'd like seven, but I'm going to accept three. Three statements which you might call your New Year's Eve what?
Resolution.
Your New Year's Eve resolutions. Three statements, you might call that. Or you might call it your pixie dust character of yourself or your stem cell character yourself. But three resolutions which show how you plan to use this next year your pixie dust, your stem cell consciousness to accomplish all the goals of your life. Okay? All right? So, now you write that down, and you have that ready so that you can give it to me at the supper table. Now that you've got exactly 6 minutes to do that before you take off, okay? Thank you. So you'll be leaving here at 4:45, and then you'll be over there about 4:45. Okay. Enjoy, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.